This is a Clearview Original.
This episode of Clearview Today is brought to you by Mighty Muscadine. Ryan, are you looking to boost your immune system?
I'm so ill that I fainted right before we turned the show on.
I hate to hear it, but I do think I have a solution. Introducing Mighty Muscadine, king of the superfruits.
Sounds like a superhero.
Well, these guys are practically superheroes. Every single one of their products are packed with organic polyphenol content, essential micronutrients, and I'm telling you, these grapes are just dripping with antioxidants designed to strengthen your body's defenses. It's going to help you stay resilient all year round.
And these guys have everything. They have grape juice, they have all natural energy shots, protein powders, they got seed oil, toothpaste, body lotion, shampoo. And here's the best part. You can use promo code TODAY, that's T-O-D-A-Y, to unlock exclusive savings at checkout. Again, use promo code T-O-D-A-Y at checkout to enjoy a significant discount on your purchase of Mighty Muscadine products.
And every single dollar you spend using that promo code helps us here at the Clearview Today Show. So don't miss this opportunity to supercharge your health and well-being with the incredible power of Mighty Muscadine. Visit their website now, that's MightyMuscadine.com, and experience the difference firsthand. Remember, that's promo code T-O-D-A-Y. A healthier, happier you is just a click away. With that said, let's start the show.
You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
And you can find our show online at clearviewtodayshow.com. You can email us at the same place, contact@clearviewtodayshow.com. If you'd like to write into the show or have your questions answered on the show, send those questions to 252-582-5028.
That's right. And you guys have a part to play in the Clearview Today Show. You can help us keep the conversation going two ways. Number one, you can support the show by sharing it online, or you can leave us a good review on iTunes or Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasting content from. I don't want to see anything less than 5 stars for any reason whatsoever under the sun.
Today is March the 21st. Happy first day of spring,
Happy
everybody.
First day of spring. My birthday's tomorrow. I'm a spring baby.
Very nice. Spring has sprung, and then you are going to be sprung into 32.
Golly. Yeah, mama wanted a spring baby, but I ain't a spring baby no more.
March the 21st, which means that our date the word is coming from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 21. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion.
That's the one thing missing from my Christian life is wisdom. And you know what's funny? The older I get, I start to think through like Solomon's prayer to God when he could have asked for anything on earth. See, as a young man, that seems kind of foolish. Like
Why would you ask for wisdom?
Yeah, you could have immortality. You could have whatever. Like now, God probably would not have granted him immortality. But what I'm saying is you can ask for anything on earth and you ask for wisdom. The older that I have gotten, the more that I am starting to see, like, if it weren't for the wisdom that God did give me, my life would be so, so different. And for the worse.
Yeah. And the instruction there is let them not depart from your eyes, which means that they are able to depart from your eyes. Mm-hmm. So it's not like once you have made a wise choice or you've exercised discretion, you've arrived. No. That's something you have to constantly guard, constantly develop, constantly cultivate, and continue pursuing the one who is wisdom.
That's right.
And that's Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much to Date the Word for partially sponsoring this nice Thursday episode. Just want to remind you guys, you can download the Date the Word app for free right now on iPhone and Android. Every single day connects today's date to God's Word with the hopes of making it more memorable for you.
So our segment today on Thursday is Advice No One Needs.
That's our Thursday segment.
We need a little jingle for Advice No One Needs.
Yeah, I'm working on getting some little jingles.
Like you didn't need it. I hope you heed it. Advice No One Needed.
Tell me that was impromptu.
It was.
Really?
Yeah.
That was really good.
Okay.
That was really good. We need to do some improv games on the show.
Here's my advice no one needed. Okay. Mm-hmm. You ready? Here we go. Put phone chargers or whatever charger your device uses, put phone chargers anywhere you sit.
It's one of the most basic things that even after years of having these little smartphones that we carry around with us, we still haven't figured out how to do. That's a great
Here's
advice.
Here's the thing. Like, chargers now are so cheap.
Yeah,
you
even
get
the real chargers.
For next to nothing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we typically think of like, here's my phone and here's my charger.
Yep.
No, here's my charger for my chair in the living room, and here's my charger for my desk, and here's my charger for my bedside. No, put a charger wherever you're going to sit. That way you don't have to sit down and be like, oh, now my phone's on 2%. I got to get up. I got to charge it in the other room. I got to pick up my charger. No. It's 2024, my friend.
That's right.
We got to start being smarter than this.
That's right.
Exercising wisdom and discretion. It looks like putting a charger near your seat. Anyway, that's the advice
That's good advice.
Put phone chargers, or like if you can work up to it, laptop chargers, tablet chargers, put them anywhere you sit.
I don't think Dr. Shaw's going to take that advice because we talked about it last week. People steal all his stuff.
That is true.
So I don't think he's putting anything.
Yeah, you do run that risk is that people will just steal it anywhere you leave it laying around. But I mean, the benefit is you have a charger at arm's length. Anywhere
yeah,
you go.
True. All you need is a good iron fist and you can stomp that out, but maybe it's not, I don't know, maybe that's not your style.
Yeah.
We'll ask Dr. Shaw when he comes back.
Write in and let us know if you think this advice will work for you or if you're already doing this. Give us some pictures of your charger
stations. Yeah, your charger stations.
Have?
I love.
Where are they? Because you might have some places where you set up chargers that we didn't think about.
Oh, yeah. I love a good, like, charging station. We have one in the sanctuary of our church for iPads and stuff like that. Yeah. Oh, man, they look so good.
Yeah. Write in and let us know, 252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. We'll be back after this.
Hey. Hey, you.
Me?
No, not you. You, listening to the Clearview Today Show. You're here right now because you love Christian talk radio, and I'm 100% down for that. But what if I told you that Clearview Church also produces original music?
That's right. At Clearview, we're more than just a church. We're a vibrant family where everyone is encouraged to worship God right where they are.
We wanted to make sure that your worship doesn't stop when you walk out the door on Sunday morning.
Our music is more accessible than ever. You can worship God in any situation. In the car, at home, in the gym, while cleaning your house, wherever you are, we'll be right there with you.
You can check us out on Apple Music or on Spotify, anywhere digital music is consumed. We got a few singles out right now. We have an EP out as well. And right now, at this moment, actually, we are working on our first ever full-length original album. Hopefully that's going to be out sometime this coming summer.
Clearview Worship on iTunes and Spotify is your 24/7 place for inspiration and worship. Follow us today and let God's message of hope, love, and faith be a guiding light in your life.
Amen. Let's hop back into the show.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028.
That's right, and we are here once again in the Clearview Today studio with Dr. Abadan Shah, who is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism. Dr. Shah, we gave our listeners some fantastic advice earlier in the show about putting chargers everywhere you sit, right? Anywhere you know you're going to be, go ahead and put some chargers there. Well, I went on ahead and I was going to follow our advice, right? Mm-hmm. And I started going to and fro, looking at all the places. And I said, you know what?
Going hither and thither.
I was going hither and thither. And I said, let me just check Dr. Shaw's office. Because we just talked about it on the show where people kept stealing your chargers, right? I found one of your chargers missing.
Oh, really?
So what I did, and I don't want you to tell anyone I told you this, but I actually went over to David's desk.
Oh.
And I saw not one, not two, but like five chargers. All of them said, and I'm talking close because I don't want him to hear me right now. All of them said, pastor's office, do not remove. So I don't know if you want to talk to him or if I have permission to send him home for the day.
I have headphones on. And you're talking into a microphone.
Whispering directly into his ear.
You're whispering right into a mic.
Does he really have all my...
No.
Okay, I was going to say.
They're all there.
That's right. As we said on the...
I just wanted to stir up a little bit of...
I'm going to throw some coffee on it.
It was just a little bit. Scalding hot,
people used to do that to me. I think they kind of sort of stopped.
Yeah.
Once you put your foot down with people, and a lot of our charger thieves, I think we just bought chargers and we just started.
Yeah.
Now I'll tell you who really. I'm not even trying to say this. Nicholas was bad. He used to be real bad. The only reason he's not bad anymore is because my phone has the old type of charger. He's USB-C, so he just, it wasn't worth it for him to steal my chargers anymore. So he used to be pretty bad.
They are not
in the
effective.
Broadcast room.
Well, Dr. Shaw, on today's episode, what is the daily encouragement you want to leave with our listeners and our viewers today?
Well, I would say just know that salvation is not something you have to work for. It is free.
That's right.
It's been given to you. Jesus paid it all. I know it's a song that we're used to singing. It becomes a cliche, but it is the truth.
That's right.
Salvation is full. Salvation is free. And thank God for that. It's
Amen.
By his grace.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right. And I think it's one of those things that, like, I grew up hearing that nothing in life is free. You know what I mean? There's no such thing as free lunch. Everything that you have in life, somebody somewhere is going to pay for it.
Well, salvation is not free.
Right.
Jesus paid for it.
Right.
You know?
That's true.
Yeah.
So. That's true.
It's been paid for.
Yeah.
It's credited to our account.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't cost us anything to be saved. You know
That's
what I mean?
Right.
It doesn't cost us anything to make that decision.
And yet,
so many people hesitate to actually do it.
Yeah, well, we lose sight of that. I mean, whether you are on the previous side of getting saved, like you're not saved yet, you can't believe that it is actually free, or you have been saved, and you're like, surely I've got to do something else. Surely there's got to be something I've got to add. I'm not saved unless I do this, or I'll lose my salvation if I don't do that. No, salvation is free, and it's been paid for not by you.
That's right. That's right.
And yet at the same time, and maybe this is something we can kind of talk about and dive into, we always talk about the cost of discipleship, that even though it doesn't cost us anything to be saved, it costs Jesus something. Now we live the rest of our lives almost as a sacrifice to God. And so
Amen.
I guess goes into what we're talking about today, the cost of discipleship. Wasn't there a book, The Cost of Discipleship?
Was that Bonhoeffer?
Okay.
That's right. Yep.
I couldn't remember. I have not ever gotten around to reading it.
It's good.
Maybe we'll do that as our book club for March or something.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, today I want us to kind of turn to Luke chapter 14, starting in verse 25, because here Jesus gives us the cost of discipleship. Mm-hmm. Now, keep in mind, not cost of salvation. Salvation is free, but discipleship will cost you something. Mm-hmm. Okay? So you don't have to pay for your salvation, but salvation means that now you're a disciple of Jesus and everything you have belongs to him. And so the question is, have you counted the cost of discipleship?
Amen.
Sometimes people have put the cart before the horse, and they start telling you, hey, now, you know, you want to be saved. Do you know what that means? I've had people, they hear a message or two from their favorite preachers, and next thing you know, they start questioning everybody walking around. You know, Do you know what? And it's like, hey, don't make things more than they're supposed to be.
Right, yeah. Right. Don't add on to what Jesus has already set
in
place.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, what I found is some people who do that, it's their own lives that they're living vagrantly. It's in their own lives they're not willing to sacrifice.
Wow.
And they hang on to that sin.
Good point.
That they want to get in your face and tell you how you need to, is he really your Lord? Is he really your Lord? Mm-hmm. Do you know what the word Lord means? Mm. And I want to say, do you?
Yeah.
Do you know what that word means?
Yeah.
Because I think you're trying to push your personal, not convictions, but your own guilt over me.
Yeah,
that's a great point. We don't want to deal with and confront that within ourselves, so we're quick to point it out and address it in other people, when really, I mean, we should be looking inward.
Yeah, I don't want to feel guilt by myself. I want to make you feel guilty, too.
Sure, I want to watch you be guilty. Yeah. I don't want to deal with it.
Yeah, because if we're all guilty, then my guilt is sort of lessened, where it kind of feels normal.
Is that an Incredibles reference? If everybody's guilty, no one is.
Yeah, sure. There you go. Syndrome style.
Yep.
So I want us to read that passage first, if that's okay. Luke 14, verse 25. If you guys want to take it on.
Sure. So starting verse 25, now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple.
Wow.
And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple.
It's crazy, and that hits me, especially where we are like right now, especially the guy who's trying to build something. Like, we're in the middle of building a new worship center right now. Like, imagine, for whatever reason, like in my mind, it's inconceivable that it wouldn't be finished.
Right.
But imagine if they were just like, hey, we ran out of money, see ya, and like, no more construction guys, no more contractors, no more plumbers or electricians. It's just what we have over there now. Yeah. The shell is, it just stays that way.
Yeah, just like 60% of a finished sanctuary.
Like, imagine that. And imagine like people driving by and be like, what happened? I guess that's just...
And the verse is exactly right. People would mock. People would make fun of, like, what in the world happened there?
That's right.
Yeah, bit off a little more than you could chew.
Yeah.
But think about Jesus. How do you picture him? When you think about him 2,000 years ago, do you see him as a solitary figure in the Garden of Gethsemane? Or do you see him just walking with his 12 disciples? Oh, that's one right there is Judas. Mm-hmm. Maybe just walking through the fields or sailing on the Sea of Galilee. Maybe sitting on a mountaintop, preaching to a small crowd who are really into hearing the truth.
Right.
But if you really pay attention to verse 25, it says, Now, great multitudes went with him.
Mm.
So if you want to see kind of in your mind's eye what Jesus must have looked like, imagine this man walking, whether it's by the shores of Galilee or in Jerusalem or through a countryside or on a boat, and a massive crowd of people following him.
Yeah. It's insane because it is like you say, like when I picture Jesus, I think of like the little hippie brigade, you know, it's the 12 and they're going off and having their adventures, but it's always those guys sleeping in their tents. And
more
stuff.
Often than not, he was surrounded by a crowd.
Right. Yeah. And these were just name it. I mean, they were there for all kinds of reasons. Some were there for food because Jesus would like a walking, talking cafeteria.
Right, right.
And at any moment, it's like, hey, it's getting close to 6
just
o'clock.
Just with your plate, with your bowl. Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Please, Jesus, I want some more.
Yeah. And or they were there for a kind of like a mobile ER. Or
like
mobile
for healing
pharmacy.
And some miracles and
yeah,
stuff.
Like, you know, hey, I got a little knot back over here.
Can you look at this eczema? This rash that I have?
My mama, actually, she's got like a bunion. And if you could just touch that bunion. Yeah. Just
I mean, honestly, that's probably what was going on. And then some were just loving his preaching. I just love to hear him, you know. Hey, look, and trying to inject and interject and talked about how much knowledge they had of the Old Testament. That's probably what it was. It was not as nice as some of the artists and painters have made it out to be.
Right, right.
It was a mess.
Mm, yeah.
I can imagine. So to this crowd, Jesus says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and yes, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple.
Hard words.
Yeah.
Hard pill to swallow.
That goes over like a lead balloon.
Yeah, exactly. And we've talked about it on the show before where he's like, you thought I came here to make peace on earth. Like, I came with a sword.
I came with a sword.
Yeah.
And earlier on in Luke chapter 9, because this is coming from Luke chapter 14, but Luke chapter 9, so about 5 chapters earlier, Jesus had already said something very similar.
Mm-hmm.
When a person came and said, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. And he said, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.
That's right.
Another one said to him, Jesus said, follow me. And he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said, let the dead bury their own.
Their own dead.
Yeah.
But you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another one also said, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me go and bid them farewell who are at my house. And Jesus said,
No one having put his hand
to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
So this had already come up.
Mm-hmm.
Bunch of people, big crowd, but they were not committed to him.
Yeah, and you know what's funny is we look at stories like your father's story where he leaves his family and we say, oh, wow. What a radical choice. What a radical testimony.
Yeah.
When Jesus laid that out as, if you want to follow me, this is what it has
to be. This is what it has.
And I'm not saying that to like undermine what the courage that your father had, but I am saying that it's like, that's faith.
Yeah.
That's following Jesus.
Right. That's right.
Like it's not the bare minimum, but it's the requirement that Jesus laid out. It's not that it's like, what an impossible circumstance that he had to go through. It's like, that was just obedience. And
faith. That's right. So, question for our listeners and viewers is, what is keeping you from committing your life fully to Christ?
Mm.
For my dad, as you mentioned, on the night before he stepped out, when he went to witness to his own father, and his father said, I'm not going to get into this Jesus stuff. I'm a reasonable man, but you know me. If you're still here tomorrow morning, it's because you have renounced Jesus Christ.
Mm.
But if you're still here and you haven't renounced him, then it won't be good for you.
Yeah.
And that night, Jesus stepped out. I mean, my dad stepped out and he had that conversation with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He said, God, I'm following you and I'm losing my family. I'm losing everything I know. Losing my future, losing my past, losing all the benefits I can gain in life. They're all going away just because I'm following you. And the answer came back, well, can you trust me in the life to come? And his answer was, yes, of course. That's the reason I'm following you, because I know you have the answer. I know that. I have that hope. And then the voice asked, then why can't you just trust me in this life?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Trust me and just step out. Now, that's tough.
Yeah, that is.
When you are used to having money anytime you want to, when you have food anytime you want to, when you have a support system that has been there for generations and will be there for generations to come, you don't have to worry about it. Mm-hmm. Just stay in your lane, do what you're told, no big deal. And to say, I'm going to give that up. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to walk into this world of uncertainty.
Wow.
Not sure where my next meal is going to come from. Not sure if I'm going to get a job. Not sure if the community that I'm entering into, the Christian community, is going to feed me. Mm-hmm. I just don't know. But I'm going to step out and take this. I can't even begin to think like that.
I'm really convinced that there's someone out there who's either listening to this episode right now or is going to listen to it in the future who's going to see the potential in this story. I think there's going to be a movie made about this one.
Oh, yeah.
I
think so.
I think it's really going to happen. I mean, it's the ultimate choice. It's the ultimate inciting incident mm-hmm. of one man's faith and then everything that came from it. Your life,
right.
my faith, our radio show here, everything that we're doing going forward in the future. I think we're going to look back on an episode like this and someone somewhere is going to, I really believe someone's going to either contact us or we'll end up contacting them and saying this is the next like Christian movie that's going to change people's lives.
It needs to be. Yeah. I mean, we've always believed that, but I think the time may be now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As the world is rapidly changing and not for good, mm-hmm. as American society and culture, the fabric of our nation is changing, but not for good.
Right.
What if this is the time that you'll hear what it means to follow Jesus Christ?
That's right.
What it means to give up family and finances and all the securities of life mm-hmm. because you have found the answer.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
So, you know, the question for our listeners is what is keeping you from committing your life fully to Christ?
True, true. What relationship is it? You know, what obligation or what job or what pleasure or comfort is it that's keeping you from fully, like you said, making that sacrifice and mm-hmm. paying the cost of discipleship?
Yeah.
Because I love being a disciple of Jesus as long as it doesn't cost me anything.
Yeah, I love something the benefit.
Yeah.
I love the return on my investment without the investment, please.
Yeah.
So Jesus even gives two parables to show what lack of counting the cost and following fully looks like.
Mm-hmm.
So the first is the tower builder, and the second is a king on a warpath.
Mm-hmm.
So the tower builder, we're not told why the individual decided to build this tower. We don't know that. Maybe it was for agricultural purposes to watch over the fields, or maybe it was for military purposes to watch the enemy. It doesn't matter. What matters is that this awkward, unfinished structure is now standing in the front yard that does nothing.
It's literally just like a monument to shame. Yeah.
I couldn't finish it. Look at this massive thing here.
Yeah.
What was it for?
Who knows?
Who knows at this point?
Yeah.
Who cares?
And then it says in verse 29, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish.
Bro, that's a hard place to be because there are people in life who start projects and they never finish them I do too. I used to be one. Like I would start something and then I'd just get bored halfway through.
Yeah.
But then I've already like talked about it and publicized it and been like, guys, this thing is coming. It's going to be great. Even at Clearview, I've started projects and then been like, well, I don't know. It didn't really work out the way I thought. And then people are like, you got those one or two people like, oh, I really liked it. But then there's always those people who are like, well, you know. Can't have everything, I guess.
That's right. So I'm sure the people were mocking him. You know, are you going to hang clothes on it? I mean, what are you going to do?
Was it some giant sundial? Like, what do you
tie your goats on it?
Your clothes on it. You know, like when you get the elliptical at your house and use it for a two weeks.
Start
and you
hanging
just
clothes
your
on
laundry
it, yeah.
on it.
Yeah,
that's right.
I'll never use it no more.
You could sell it.
Yeah, that's bad.
Well, wait. You can't move it, can you?
No, it's a giant tower.
Well, then I guess you get to keep it.
Yeah.
giant decorative ornament.
Yeah, just put some lights on it at Christmas time.
And Jesus's conclusion is, for which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it?
That's true. You think that's what people's Christian lives look like?
Yeah, a big giant tower that leads nowhere.
It does nothing. it's kind of impressive to look at it first glance.
Yeah,
but then you realize what it actually is. It's like, oh, it's not finished.
What is this for?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
It was going to be.
Hoping it was going to be a great Bible study.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be a book that I was writing. I you know what? I was hoping to, and then some something.
Yeah.
But it didn't go anywhere.
Yeah. That's a hard place to be. Yeah. And it's familiar. And I think it's something that we don't want to confront in ourselves, is that we all want to do something for God's kingdom, but we either don't think through what to do, or like you said, we just don't plan whether or not we can actually finish it and actually make that impact.
Well, I wonder for a lot of people, I'm not saying everybody, but I wonder for a lot of people if it's not just, I want the notoriety of having done something could for be. God's kingdom without actually putting in the work.
Right. Could be.
But the second parable is of a king on a warpath. And unlike the first one of this giant tower sitting in your backyard or front yard, this one is about, it's dangerous because you're going into battle and you haven't really counted the cost.
Yeah.
So listen to verse 31. Or what king going to war makes against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he's able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000?
Mm.
Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace.
Wow. That's a tough place to be.
Yeah.
And that's kind of makes me think of like, of us, you know, are we that defeated army going up against something that we have no hope of actually conquering, either because we haven't prepared or we're not spiritually where we are, where we need to be. You know, we're not in the word, we're not praying, and yet we're trying to take on so much more than we actually can, you know, in our own power.
Right. So the question is, have you counted the cost of following Jesus? Are you willing to follow him in order to be saved? And some people may ask at this point, isn't this work salvation? And I would say, don't misunderstand. Following Jesus is always the work of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is God's gift to us.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to rethink what we believe about getting saved. We're not saying, hey, make sure you can do all these things. No, instead we're saying, make sure that you'll keep following Jesus.
Good point. Mm. Yes, good point. Yeah. I like that.
Philippians 2:12 is a great verse if you want to read it.
Yeah. It says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure.
That's a good point, and I'm glad you pointed that out, because that's one of, we plan a lot at Clearview. We strategize, we plan, but it's always planning by God's Spirit. You know what I mean? It's not us just saying, what are our strengths? How can we strategically do this? Mm-hmm. How is God leading us to do this?
Yep.
What is he saying to us? We just had a great sermon this past Sunday, and people were talking about it. People were into it. People made comments to me. People made comments to you. How is God working on our people? How do we take that and strategize for these next ones?
Yeah.
Rather than what can we do?
And you said something that's really helpful in the past, Dr. Shaw. Like, people will often say, why don't you just leave room for the Spirit to move? Just let the Holy Spirit guide you. Don't plan out.
Even guides in the planning process.
That's what I was going to say. Especially working through that planning. To say that God isn't in the planning and the prep, I mean, how do you answer for Joshua and military strategy in the Old Testament? How do you answer for Moses planning to lead the Israelites? God is in the planning and the prep as much as he is in the moment.
Think about the coming of Jesus itself was a plan.
Mm-hmm.
He was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God did not decide in the Trinity, who do we send? Michael? The archangel? Gabriel?
No.
Who are we going to do this?
Anyone?
Yeah. Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
I mean, I can go.
Like drawn straws, like who's going to do it?
He planned it out.
That's right.
And of course, it was a perfect plan of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that takes us right back to the daily encouragement that salvation is a free gift.
That's right.
Number one, if you're listening to this show and you are not a believer, get saved. Salvation is a free gift for you. And number two, if you are a believer, count the cost of discipleship. Understand what that means and live that out every day of your life.
That's right. And you know, God is the one, like Dr. Shaw just said, God is the one preparing all those good works that we're going to do that we think like, oh, salvation because of works. God is laying those works out for you.
Right.
The question is like, am I willing to lay aside my old ways and step into those good works that he's the one laying out?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like your father. It's just obedience.
Yes, right.
It's obedience to God.
So we need to rethink what we believe about getting saved. As Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
Amen.
So the question is, are you willing to lay aside your old ways and step into the good works that God has prepared beforehand for you?
That's right. I love it.
And if you're not, you should be.
Amen. And hopefully this radio show is helping you to do that.
Yeah.
Because the things that we talk about, it's not just that we're teaching. We want it to be an encouragement for you. We want it to be something that you say, yeah, I am ready to step into those good works.
Yeah.
And I don't have to be ashamed of working hard for Jesus Christ.
That's right. Text in and let us know how today's episode helped you. 252-582-5028. Visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. And if you like what you hear, if you believe in the mission and the heart behind the Clearview Today Show, partner with us financially. Scroll to the bottom, click that button, and become part of our giving family.
Amen.
John, any encouragement you want to leave our listeners with?
We are going into lightning round questions tomorrow, celebrating Friday in style. You know, we're continuing forward towards Easter. The closer we get, the closer we are getting to celebrating Jesus' resurrection. We want you to do that with us here on the Clearview Today Show, so stay tuned.
That's right. Lightning round questions tomorrow. Make sure you guys are there. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.